produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I want us to begin in Hebrews chapter 6. That will begin where we will start. I'm reading from the Message version on the day in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, and I pray that you will begin to honestly see where you are in the Word of God and where you can trim the fat. Look at somebody, shout, trim the fat. Yeah, trim the fat. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. And as we begin reading, I'm reading from the Message version, and I'm reading from verses 12 to verses 17 of Hebrews chapter 6, the Message version. If you have your phones, if you would, go to the Message version online of Hebrews chapter 6. Beginning in verse 12, it reads, "Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith, and then get everything promised to them." When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it all the way, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, "I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless." Now, did you hear that? He said, "I'll promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless." Look at somebody, point at them and just shout, "You bless." Verse 15, it says, "Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him." When people make promises in verse 16, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. Did you hear that? I said, God cannot break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. If you're not too mean, I just want you to look at somebody that's beside you and say, "Pastor Shelton is going to teach to us that we need a blueprint." Amen. Need a blueprint. And I want to start this sermon series by giving you this, and I want to continue in this vein of thesis that we actually gave on last week. I don't want to try to fool you as though this is a new thesis. And these points have been adopted from a book that Ivy Hilliard wrote entitled Maximized Living. I want to look at this because in the thesis, and this is what I wrote on last week as the thesis, this is the season that God is doing the incredible in our lives. If you could just get excited, if you would, just look at somebody, point at them and just shout, "Incredible in your life." Amen. Incredible in your life. And so all of us need a blueprint. I remember when Janine and I were looking to build a house some years ago in 2004. We began searching for property. We found a piece of property, and then after finding the property, we found an architect. This young lady was new to drawings, but she could get the job done, I was told. We gave her the monies that was needed for the actual plans to be drawn up. And she worked alongside with me based upon houses that I had looked at. And in these houses I had studied for about a year and a half on hand, I placed in the drawings of that architectural plan everything that I desired for a house to have. I wanted a covered patio, so I placed it in there. I wanted my own fitness room. I placed it in that house, in the drawings of that house. Everything that we wanted, that we could dream of, we placed it in that house. It came out to be a drawing that was about 5,600 square feet of heated living house. And that was just the heated space. That didn't include the three-car garage. It didn't include all of the living spaces surrounding the house. It was that amount of space that she had drawn. And in drawing that house, she worked along with different planners that planned. And I paid for those plans. But as life would have it, Janine and I have kept looking for houses. And in 2005, we found a house, but due to circumstances beyond our control, as we put our deposit down, we were unable to get that house. So we waited until we were able to get the house we wanted. And in 2006, as we continued to look for houses, we found a house that almost matched to the T the descriptives of the house that was on the architectural plans. When we walked in the house, we noticed that EJ and Julian went in the front door, ran out the back door, and had made friends with people in the neighborhood already. And Janine and I looked at each other as we were standing by the stairwell, and she looked at me and she said, "This is it, boo." I said, "What you mean this is it?" She said, "This is the house." I figured it was the house, but I'd already gone through all of this planning with these architectural drawings. And it ain't no way I'm finna let my money go down the drain with what I've already done. But when you hear boo, this is it. This is it. Because anybody know that if you're going to keep your house happy, mama got to be happy. And so we put the deposit down and we went through closing, and that was the house. We had plans, architectural drawings, a blueprint. But little did I know, the blueprint was not for us to build that house. The blueprint was for us to put in writing and on paper what it actually was we were looking for. Some of y'all need to write down in this year of 2023 incredible favor what it is you're searching for. Because if you don't put it down in writing what you're looking for and what you're searching for, you're certain to find anything else. Well, let me unpack this about a blueprint, because many of us need to understand we fit into life in one of these three key areas. Number one, you are maybe a criticizer. Shout criticizer. Just look around at people around you. Just look at them. If you don't mind, just look at them up and down. And if you don't mind, just look at them and say, "Are you a criticizer?" Well, let me give you what a criticizer is. Here's what a criticizer is. A criticizer chooses to blame others for their own inability to succeed. They find fault with everything from their own upbringing to it's the government's problem. These, ladies and gentlemen, are criticizers. Criticizers have a way of always talking about everything that's wrong. They never find anything that's right. Criticizers sound a lot like Adam in the Bible when they messed up and ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember what Adam says in verse 12 as God comes in the cool of the evening and he speaks to them. Adam says, it's the woman that you gave to me. It's her fault. That's what an actual criticizer sounds like. Criticizers sound like in today's society that nothing is their own responsibility. They always pass the buck on somebody else because it's their responsibility to make sure that they live a better life. But you've got to learn, you've got to stop making excuses. Make somebody tell them, stop making excuses. It ain't always somebody else's fault. Sometimes it's your own fault. And so we deal with criticizers as the first level of people that are in our life or that we may be. We always make room to criticize what somebody else is doing. We see their work, we see their effort, but for many of us, we're sitting on the sidelines doing nothing and we criticize. And let me be perfectly honest, there are going to be things that need to be corrected. But everything ought not need to be corrected all the time. So that's the first level, is criticizer. Now, I don't want to stay on that because that's not what the lesson is about. But secondly, there are traumatizers. Shout traumatizers. Traumatizers are like criticizers with the added trait of trying to make everybody else's life miserable and unbearable by constantly whining and complaining. They carry on this way with misguided expectation that someone owes them something and therefore someone else should fix their problems. Let me be clear on traumatizers. Traumatizers has had something of a traumatic event that is neutralizing them where they are. And that traumatic event is always in their life and it always echoes in sentiments of how they view life. They are traumatized. They are stuck. And they can never move forward from the event that occurred. They are traumatized. So you got either you're a criticizer or secondly, you're a traumatizer. I like the third group because this is where many of us need to bear down. And even if you are a criticizer or a traumatizer, this is where you need to go. Thirdly, there are maximizers. Shout maximizers. Maximizers are those that bear down under pressure, and although they feel like quitting, they persevere with innovation until they achieve. Okay, let me see. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, don't drag your feet. That's what the Message version says. The King James version literally says to us in verse 12, don't be slothful. Can I give you Eliot's version? Don't be lazy. And that's what many of our problems are, that we're simply lazy. The Bible allows us to know in verse 12 of Hebrews 6, don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and get everything promised to them. If I'm going to get everything God has for me, that simply means I cannot allow my critical spirit or my traumatized spirit to get to me. I've got to be a maximizer and bear down under pressure and use innovation to get ahead. In other words, one no does not stop the show. I wish I had a witness here. One no does never stop a show. You got to know, one person may tell you no, but that does not mean everybody told you no. One bank may have told you no, but that does not mean all the banks told you no. One position may not be yours, but that does not mean all the positions are not mine. You got to bear down and maximize. So maximize is bear down under pressure. But let me give you this next one, because we got to understand that as we are maximizers, you got to know the second. And here's my second major point that I need us to be clear about, because people give up too quickly. Look at somebody, tell them, stop giving up quickly. Stop quitting everything because you can't get your way. Some of us quit at everything we start. And then we try to make the excuse that it's somebody else's fault that we didn't finish. How in the world are you going to get ahead when you're constantly doing just minimalist work? You're the last one in and the first one out. Nobody's going to look at you for a promotion and you're depressed and talking about your depression at work. I don't know. I just got to take these pills because, you know, I'm just down all the time. I don't know why I'm down. You down because you're talking down all the time. You've got to learn how to rise above where you are. Listen, your dependency on all of the sideshows, you've got to move past that and know that God has more for you. You sitting there talking about Beyonce concert tickets and this, that, and the third. Listen, you need a savings account. That's the first thing you need to do. How much money do you have in your savings account? Have you paid off all your payday loans yet? You've got to learn how to maximize what God has given to you. Okay. So people give up too quickly, thinking their situation is what God wants for them. Always know God's will for your life is that you prosper. That's number one. Look at somebody shout, he wants me to prosper. 3 John chapter 2 allows us to know that he wants us to prosper. That's the first thing. And as we prosper, that term prosper is a unique word because it literally means when we prosper. And for many of us that don't know what prosper means, it means to succeed. Shout succeed. God wants me to succeed. In other words, he does not want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. Listen, I don't set traps for people. I don't set people up. I don't have the time for that because I understand that God ultimately wants all of us to prosper. I would be a poor person to try and set traps for any person when I know what the Word of God says. 3 John 2 allows us to know, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. So in other words, be successful. Now, for those that don't like talking about prosperity gospel, this is a good place for you to put a circle in your Bible. 3 John 2 is prosperity gospel because the word prosper means succeed in your business affairs. Because notice, you've already gotten salvation. Look at somebody shout, I got salvation. And once I'm saved, once I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there are certain things in Christ that I receive. Listen, there are certain things that EJ and Julian as my children that they receive. It's certain preliminary things that they get just by being in the family. Okay, y'all missed that, didn't you? You see, when you're in Christ's family, it's certain things you automatically receive. You don't have to beg for them. It's certain things you automatically receive. And you've got to believe and trust God and know that as a believer in the family of God, it's certain things that when I show up, I just receive. Look at somebody shout, I just receive it. I just receive it. It's certain things that I just receive. I get simply because I show up. Okay, you in the family, and because you in the family, you receive it. Janine and I, we are part of a lot of fancy clubs. We're part of a lot of fancy clubs. And one of the clubs we are in, and she don't know it, but because she's my wife, she's part of the club. So anytime we fly, we part of this club that we're part of. And so because we have so many miles, we signed up at 0 miles. Now that we got so many miles, we show up and we get certain things. We don't have to ask for them. When we show up, we just get them. So notice, y'all, we show up at the airport and they tell us, they say, hey, you no longer have to be in that line because you part of the family now. You need to get in that line because you priority. In other words, you don't have to be in the regular line because now you priority. And y'all, every time we show up, we looking at the other line saying, man, we glad we ain't regular no more because now we priority. Is there anybody here that knows that I'm priority? Look at somebody, tell them I'm priority. You don't understand. I ain't regular no more because I'm part of Christ's family. I'm priority. And when I show up, it's certain things that just happen. Is there anybody here that knows it's certain things that just happen? So notice, he wants us to prosper. Succeed in business. Succeed in your dealings. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm supposed to succeed. See, you didn't say it like you meant it. And maybe that's your problem. And the reason I can say it's your problem, because I don't have that problem, because I believe that when I show up, certain things are supposed to happen. I believe when I open the door, certain things are supposed to be. And when you don't have that same mentality, you'll sit around not knowing that the stuff you are part of, it comes with the package that you are part of. You ain't got to ask how much it is because that's free, because it comes with the package. Is there anybody here that knows I'm priority? So notice, you got to prosper because that's God's will. That's number one. Number two is to be in good health. Okay, the Bible says in 3 John 2, he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That term health means not bad health, but well health. Look at somebody shout, well health. In other words, good health. I'm supposed to see 70 years old. And by reason of strength, I'm supposed to get to 80. Okay, some of y'all sitting there looking. The reason why I can talk about retiring at 70 and then living out the rest of my years is because I understand I'm getting to 70 and everything else is going to be bonus and good. Somebody needs to understand you're going to be in good health. Regardless of what the report came back as, you in good health. We look at different people and we wonder how old they are and how they got to where they are. One of the things, I look at my aunt, Tissy, she runs around everywhere she goes. She just runs. I mean, if you ever seen my aunt, she's like the road runner. She never stops. She gets up just running, takes off. Pew. And no matter how she may feel, she never stops. You don't hear her talking about, oh, my back hurting today, my knees. You know, her knees, she got a bad knee, but it never stops. It don't hurt. It don't stop. It don't hurt her until she's talking in a long conversation. But my aunt, when you look at her, she don't look her age. She don't act her age. And so I look at that and I say, man, if she can be in good health, I know I'm in good health. Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, you got to have some good models around you. You got to stop having everybody around you that's ailing and hurting and sick. And you got to learn how to be around people that ain't going to complain about their ailments because you're claiming good health. I'm believing for good health. I'm trusting God that my health is well. I know what the doctors are saying, but we're going to get up and we're going to run in the morning. We're going to walk if we can't run. And we're going to sit there and do all that we can so that we can be in good health. Somebody shout good health. So not only does he want me to prosper, he wants me to be in good health. Okay, third thing that you got to know is God wants us to overcome difficulties. Look at somebody shout, overcome difficulties. Overcome difficulties, overcome difficulties. Now, when we overcome difficulties, we understand that we overcome our difficulties by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. In other words, it's by the blood of the Lamb that I overcome. But now James tells us, and they don't have these scriptures upstairs, but James tells us in James chapter 1, and you could just write this down as a footnote to look at it later. In James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, don't fall apart at the seams when temptations, trials, and troubles come. Because you've got to know, you've got to count it all joy. In other words, I'm not counting it some joy, I'm counting it all joy. I don't have time to second guess God at why God allowed me. Why did God allow this to happen to me? I'm going to count it all joy because I know God is getting the glory and he's going to allow me to overcome my difficulties. I may not like it right now, but in it, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to bless the Lord with everything that is within me. I'm going to bless his holy name. Is there anybody here that knows you've got to learn to bless God's name regardless of what you're going through? So I've got to overcome the difficulties. I'm overcoming all of my difficulties. Some stuff I may not come out of. Some stuff may get me out, get the best out of me. Many of us, we are designed in Western civilization of Christendom to believe that we're not supposed to have any trouble. But you're going to have some trouble. Look at somebody and tell them you're going to have some trouble. But be of good cheer is what Jesus says. He says, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, I've overcome everything that you possibly could go through. So whatever trial, whatever tribulation you have, you got to learn how to count it all joy. It says count it all joy. So notice you count it not some joy. Count it all joy because I'm overcoming the difficulties. Some of you are living testimonies because you remember when you didn't think you were going to come out of what you're in. And let me be clear, because there's some youth in here that need to understand, because we live in a society where everybody's supposed to like you. And if they don't like you, then, you know, they hating on you. Let me tell you, you're going to have people that don't like you. Some people gonna like you, gonna dislike you because you're too dark skinned. Some gonna dislike you because you're too light skinned. Some gonna dislike you because you're a woman. Others gonna dislike you because you're a man. Somebody's gonna dislike your feet. Somebody else gonna dislike you because you think you proper. You think you this and you this, you think you that. Listen, whatever a person dislikes you about, you let them continue to set traps and dislike you. Because as long as I'm praying, as long as I'm trusting God, as long as I'm believing God, ain't a devil in hell or on earth that can undo what God has for me. Because what God has for me, is there anybody here that knows it is? For me. Look at somebody, tell them it is for me. It might be delayed, but it will not be denied. Overcome difficulties. Look at somebody, tell them you can overcome your difficulties. Whatever your difficulty is, you can overcome it. Whatever addiction you have, you can overcome it. We think of addiction, many of us, we think of the big addictions. We think of drug addiction and alcohol addiction. There's some of y'all in here that's addicted to sex. Others of you in here, to be truthful, you're addicted to food. and others that are addicted to lying, gossiping. There are several different addictions. Don't you judge a person because they don't have your addiction. We love looking down on people because they don't have our struggle. Oh, well, you know, I don't struggle with homosexuality and lesbianism, you know. They ought to all go to hell. But the lies they can sneak in on in there. No. Revelation says the liars as well have their part in the lake of fire. I wish I had a witness here. You see, many of us, we take the Bible and isolate it and fit it to fit what we want it to fit. If you got a temper, you got a bad temper, you need to get that under control. That's why Ephesians says, be ye angry and sin not. Let me give you my translation. It says, when you get angry, please don't sin. Don't do nothing stupid. Think about the repercussions of what you're about to do. Before you go choke slam somebody, think about what you're about to do. Before you lay hands on somebody, think about what you're about to do. Before you say what you're thinking inside your mind, think about what it is you're about to say. Be ye angry, but please don't sin. We love minimizing and maximizing sin. Oh, this sin, you know, well, you know, I don't deal with drug addiction. All of those on drugs, the hard drugs, they need to be in jail. If you do crack, it's whack. But if you do weed, it's a seed. Where do you make this stuff up at? You know, God gave us weed. That's come from Mother Earth. Now all of a sudden you're a horticulturist. Come on now, I mean, you got to know sin is sin, and anything that inebriates your mind. Oh no, I can think clearly with weed. No, you can't. Anything that alters your perception of how you think, that is inebriating your mind. That's why the Bible says, be ye not drunk, but be sober minded. Okay. You do know the devil gives you stuff so that he can take stuff away from you. Nothing the devil gives you is ever free. Whenever the devil gives you anything, it comes with a price. Any drug, any liquid, anything you can sniff, swallow, that inebriates your mind, is partly an addiction. Many of us, well, you know, they need to get rid of them drug dealers. But ain't nothing wrong with gambling. I tell you, I gotta go down south. I go across that, cause over there to that the Greyhound. I go over there to West Memphis. I got to go because they had them steaks. Them big steaks. We justify sin. Oh, well, you know, I don't understand how these girls can have all these kids. They got five babies. Eight different baby daddies. I just don't understand that. Some of y'all, that's exactly how you feel. But you fine.
As long as Mr. John is coming in and don't nobody see him leaving and going. Y'all giving me time, so I'm just going to take my time today. You've got to understand, sin is sin. Well, you know, Pastor, I give my tithe, but I ain't got time to stay around and deal with them people. Wait a minute, the people? God's children, you mean? Yeah, I'm not a good people person. I don't like people. That ain't what you said last night. You making it rain last night. He dancing all up on you in places. You ain't have a problem last night with people. It amazes me. We love to minimize, maximize sin. Let me move on. Overcome. Look at somebody shout, overcome difficulties. And then he says, and most of all, here's the fourth one. God wants us to live an abundant life. Shout an abundant life. He wants you to have an abundant life. Now, abundance is based upon the container that can hold the abundance. And many of us, we like to compare our level of containment to somebody else's. And the truth be known, you're not able to handle the multiple layers that it takes to deal with everything that's given. So your level of abundance may not be my level of abundance. My level may not be somebody else's level. The Bible says in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, you got to understand that Christ came that we would prosper, that we would be in good health, overcome difficulties, and then live an abundant life. Look at somebody shout an abundant life. And our problem is we like to compare somebody else's abundant life to ours. Well, I don't understand how they got what they got. Maybe you don't understand how they pray what they prayed for. Maybe you didn't see them in their secret closet while you was playing in your closet. I wish I had a witness here. You've got to understand that God has a unique way of rewarding and openly what has been done secretly. Okay, let me go on to my third point, close it up. I'm done. Notice, he wants us to have an abundant life. But here's the last thing. If you're going to have a blueprint, you got to understand that as a maximizer, we all reach a breaking point. But instead of breaking down, break through. Look at somebody, tell them break through. Tell them don't break down. Break through. Tell them don't break down. Break through. You see, when you break down, you limit God and his ability to be able to come and rescue you. That's why you got to keep on going. Don't break down. Don't allow yourself to give up. Don't break down, because your breakthrough is on the other side of your break point. Okay, you got to understand your breakthrough is on the other side of your breaking point. In other words, I can choose to have a breakdown or I can choose to have a breakthrough. I've always chosen, and let me say this, I've always chosen that no matter what the situation is, to always have a breakthrough. There have been times that it looked as if it was all said and done, signed and sealed and over, but I understand that God has no deadlines that he has to deal with, because he is the author of life and death. In other words, God does not have to abide by what our rules are here on earth. God is able to break the rules just for me. In other words, what it looks like is over in others' eyes, God said it's just a brand new beginning in my eyes. You've got to learn that you can either break down or break through. Okay, that didn't come across like I needed to. Let me give you some scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, when God, in verse 13, when God made his promise to Abraham, He backed it all the way, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Okay, y'all don't know when to shout. I'm not doing no screaming and hollering today. Evangelist Brown took care of that for us. So let me just say this. He says, I promise I'll bless you with everything I have. Y'all still don't know when to shout. This is God talking now. This is not Elijah talking. This is God talking. He says, God says, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Now, you know what's crazy? If LeBron James got up here, and LeBron James, who is about 36 points away from breaking and eclipsing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring title, if he got up here and he said this morning, hey, I'm going to bless you with everything that I have, you figure LeBron is worth $1 billion, so you figure in your mind that LeBron is about to bless you with some financial blessings, and you get to shouting and you throw your hands back, you get to running around foaming at the sanctuary and sitting there talking about, oh, I'm blessed. Michael Jordan was coming here, and we celebrate Michael Jordan as being an African-American that has been a tremendous basketball star. In my eyes, he's probably the best basketball player that has ever laced up some basketball shoes. And if he was to come in worth about $2 billion and come in and say to this congregation, hey, I'm here today, and I want y'all to know with everything that I have, I'm finna bless y'all individually as well as the church, y'all would get excited and start screaming, Michael, God did it. Michael, God did it. And then you'll be excited, and you'll sit there and you'll say, man, I'm blessed. Oprah Winfrey came in here and she said, you know what? If you look, feel up under your chair, you're blessed. You get up there, you start feeling it, you grab whatever it was up under there, and you run around and start shouting, I can't believe Oprah Winfrey blessed me. She came up with me. But all of them are under God's care, custody, and control. It is God that the earth belongs to. Matter of fact, it's his world, and all them that dwell therein. Matter of fact, he said the cattle. And then he said, you know what? I ain't gonna even count the cattle. I'm gonna count the hills. The cattle upon 1,000 hills all belong to him. And notice he basically tells us that everything belongs to him. And notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Then he goes on to say what he's going to bless us with. He said, bless and bless and bless. Okay, I'm done. Let me see if I can make this plain, because many of us don't understand that when God gives us a guarantee of what he's going to do, that God gives us the promise that he's going to do it, he does not tell us how he's going to do it. He simply says he's going to do it. In other words, if God said it, then that seals it and settles it. It's already done. And today, I just wanted to let somebody know that in your blueprint, footprint, as you're putting in the faucets, as you're placing the rooms in, as you're putting in the driveway, and the type of materials that you want, whether it's going to be stone or brick or steel or brick or whatever, you know, what kind of stones you're using. I want you to know one thing, that God is the one that has the ability to give us everything that belongs to him. And then he says, I'm going to bless you and bless you and bless you. I'll see y'all next Sunday morning. But is there anybody here that can shout, I thank God that God has given me a tremendous blueprint, that God keeps on blessing me, that in spite of me, that God keeps on blessing me. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Is there anybody here that knows the Lord keeps on blessing me? Why don't you just grab somebody by the shoulder and let them know, I don't know why you're sitting there, but the Lord keeps on blessing you. And every time you turn around, he keeps on blessing you. Is there anybody here that can celebrate today and just shout, thank you, Lord, for blessing me and blessing me and blessing me? Well, I'll see y'all next time around. Is there anybody here that knows he keeps on blessing me? And that's why I keep on praising him, because every time I open my eyes, he keeps on blessing me. If you're not too mean, just shout, thank you for blessing me. Say, thank you for blessing me. Shout, thank you for blessing me. Anybody know he's blessing you? Shout, yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.